By way of Akdama, it's always strange learning a topic that is not relevant this time of year. In Rosh Hashanah now in Tammuz seems very irrelevant, but it's a nice hachana for a few months leading up to Rosh Hashanah. But one strong connection actually does exist. To kind of keep this in mind, we're beginning in 3 weeks, Thursday, Bein HaMetzarim begins, and the Sfarim point out that 3 weeks, each Shabbos of the 3 weeks is really connected to the Shlosh Regalim. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Pinchas this week is Pesach. The name itself, Pinchas, very much resembles Pesach. Each one has its own connection, the three regalim. And Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are very much connected, opposite extremes, but they're very much connected. Just one halachic proof for this is that the Rambam holds that Tosefes Shabbos doesn't exist only by two areas. He writes that work exists by Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, and he writes at the end of Perish Mishnayos and Maseches Tainus, that there's Tosefes Tisha B'Av. I know it sounds strange, but there's more to that we could discuss maybe near Tisha B'Av, halachically, how that works out. But we see that there's parallel between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So I thought maybe Rosh Chodesh of Av would be Rosh Hashanah, leading up to like the 9 days of Aseres Mechuvah, some connection, maybe it's 9 days and 10 days, but maybe there's some connection to Rosh Chodesh Rosh Hashanah. So keeping in mind, the next 3 weeks is somehow supposed to be a kapara for the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the lack of Shlosh Regalim and the no more Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur the way it used to be. So as we're preparing for the real Rosh Hashanah, these are also actually very opportune times for achieving these types of kaparas, having that in mind. So let's get right into it. So today's shir and tomorrow's shir are going to be on the same Gemara. Today we're talking about the Indian of Shofar being Kivifnim. Tomorrow we're going to have a whole other set of marmakomas about Ink, Tager, and Asa Senegar, the same exact Gemara, but again, different angles. So let's learn a little bit about Shofar, Kibifnin Damin. So the Mishnah tells us already about which Shofaros are kosher, which are not. We'll discuss further about this over the next few weeks. The Gemara says that one cannot use Kol Shofaros Ksher Mechus Mishel Par, Para, Bipnei Shu Karen. Because it's called a Karen, and there's some technicality in terms of what you call something, a shofar and a keren, but the Gemara introduces the concept of ein kateger nasa snager. The kateger can't be nasa snager, that which the avera of chet ego was performed through cannot also be used to achieve kapar. It doesn't work that way. You have to have something separate, it can't be the anything that resembles the chet ego. So the Gemara says that's only true if it's something that goes bifnim, the big day zav of the Kohen Gadol. If you go to Kodesh Kedashim, he can't wear the big day zav, it reminds Kodesh Baruch Hu of the Egozov, so no big days of Kodesh HaKadashim. So Gemara says, okay, well the shofar is certainly b'chutz. So if the shofar is b'chutz, so why is there a problem of it being the para? Who cares if it reminds Hashem of the Chet Ego? It's b'chutz. And so the Gemara answers, like you all saw, but because since it's the Bifnim Dami, since Kevin Dili Zikaron Hu, Ki Bifnim Dami. Since the shofar is somehow supposed to remind Hashem, it's supposed to enter into the deepest parts of Hashem, whatever it means exactly, into the Kodesh Kedashim, Bifnim, it's Ki'ilu, it's B'Kodesh Kedashim. It's B'chutz, L'mais is B'chutz, but it has the halachic significance, it's viewed as going Bifnim, B'Kodesh Kedashim. That's what I want to talk about, this Indian of the shofar being Bifnim. So the Ritva there, as you all saw, elaborates a little bit, that shofar is something that we call a Ritzui. Shofar, the point of a shofar is like a tefillah, he calls it. It's lahachnis tfilason shel yisrael lefnai lefnim kilefnim dami. That when a person davens, the Gemara Brachos, like you all said, when a person davens, he always has to have kavana, focusing and facing Eretz Yisrael, facing Yerushalayim, facing the Beis HaMikdash, facing the Kodesh Kedashim. And since that's the case, since the shofar is a form of tefillah, it's a way of davening, it's a ritzu, it's supposed to ask Hashem for kapara. So it's able to accomplish where a tefillah does. Now our tefillah, we're davening here in Woodmere, we're davening wherever we live, but that tefillah is able to be taken to the holiest place in the world. It takes us to Kodesh Kedashim. So shofar is the same thing. Shofar is a parallel, it's a type of tefillah. The type of tefillah that when you do a tekiah, you blow out to Hashem, you're calling out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a form of tefillah, tekiah, shvarim trua. So it's balaratzos. It's coming to appease Hashem to ask for forgiveness. And that's why it's kilfnim dam. So this idea of shofar being kilfnim is being balaratos has a very important nafkamina. And that's with respect to what the Ritva talks about of a sukkah gzula. Sukkah gzula, Gemara says, is pasul. The Gemara brings a pasuk, how we know a sukkah gzula. You can't sit in a sukkah that's been stolen. The pasuk says, hahu. And Tosfos asks the question, the Ritva asks the question, well, why do you need a pasuk to exclude a sukkah gzula? We have a concept throughout all of Shas, mitzvah ba'bever. If you stole something, you can't use that item to perform a mitzvah. So if the sukkah was stolen, how could I use that sukkah, gzula, to perform the mitzvah? And so the Ritva's mechadish, those who want to look into mitzvah ba'bever, we're focusing right now on the Indian of a shofar. But mitzvah ba'bever, those who want to look into the sugya, take a look at the Mishnah Yavetz, the Rav Zhulti. Rav Zhulti has a nice shtickle in mitzvah ba'bever about being a psul in the chefza, psul in the gavra. But this chiddush of the Ritva, quoting Tosos, is that mitzvah ba'bever is only relevant a particular type of mitzvah. When it comes to a mitzvah that's balaratos, a mitzvah that's trying to appease Hashem, it's a mitzvah trying to achieve a kapara. Tzitzis, for example, you wear tzitzis, it's not coming to provide kapara, to achieve kapara. It's not balaratos, it's a requirement to wear tzitzis. Tefillin, mitzvah to wear tefillin, that's not balaratos. There's no Indian of a ritzui, no Indian of tefillah, no Indian of carbon by tefillin. So if a person stole a tefillin, it wouldn't be a violation of mitzvah ba'bavera. The only time mitzvah ba'bavera is relevant is when it's a type of mitzvah that's coming to achieve a ritzui, to achieve a kapara. So we have the case of a sukkah is not a balaratos. He's sitting in a sukkah. It's not a ritzui. It's just a mitzvah sitting in the sukkah to remember the ananya kavod, to remember sukkah's mamish, but it's not a ritzui. So therefore, it's not possible. A sukkah gzul is not possible midin mitzvah ba'bavera. It's possible because another possible, another reason, but not mitzvah ba'bavera. So when Tosa says this, he gives the example. What are examples of items, mitzvahs, that are mitzvahs that are balaratos? He says, "Bedavar balaratos is kikarban ululav, aval lo bishar mitzvahs." So carbon, we understand. We understand why a carbon is balaratos. That's the essence of a carbon, to get a kapara. But how in the world is a lulav a ritzur? And then we'll bring everything back to shofar. How is a lulav a ritzur? So hopefully you got a chance to see the Gemara in Tainus. If not, don't worry. I'll say outside what the Gemara in Tainus is talking about. So the Gemara there has a machlokas in the Mishnah there between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. At what point does a person start saying, Mashir Ruach Min Ergashem, Sukkot time? Rabbi Eliezer says from the first day of Sukkot. And Rabbi Yeshua says, from the last day of Sukkot. We pass like Rabbi Yeshua, the last day of Sukkot. Shmi Atzeres is when we start saying, Mashir Baruch Min Hashem. And the Gemara wants to know, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says you start saying from the first day, from Yom Rishon, you start saying, Mashir Baruch Min Hashem. So they want to know, what's the basis? What do you learn from? Do you learn from Nisach HaMayim? What's Nisach HaMayim? Nisach HaMayim is every single day of Sukkot, they would sprinkle that pour water on the Mizbeach. You go up to the Mizbeach, and I'll just draw some type of image for you. Let's say this is east. Well, that's east, really. So east to west. Okay, so Kodesh Kedashim is there. You come into the base of Megdash from the east. There's a ramp that goes south to north, this way, the big Mizbeach, the ramp. So on top of the Mizbeach, you climb up the ramp. The left side, there are two little drains. One drain was a thicker drain, was for the wine, and a smaller drain was for the water. So every day of the year, they pour wine down the drain for the Nisach HaYayin. But when it came down to Sukkot, they'd have two. They pour Nisach HaYayin and also Nisach HaMayim. A special thing for all days of Sukkot. Not all days, Machlokas, which days? So in that Nisach HaMayim, the water was drawn at nighttime, Balayla. The night before, they draw the water. So Gemara says, do we learn from Nisach HaMayim just that Nisach HaMayim starts Balayla? We should start saying Mashir Ruach Murda Gashim Balayla the first night? Or do we learn it from Lulav? That Lulav is in the daytime, Bayom, the first day, Bayom, not Balayla, Bayom, and we should start saying Mashir Ruach during the daytime, like Lulav starts during the daytime. That's the Safek of the Gemara. Now in that conversation, the Gemara says that describing the essence of Lulav, it says, what's the connection of Lulav and Nisach HaMayim and Mashir Ruach? What's the connection? Why would you learn Mashir Ruach from Lulav? So the Gemara says, Hoil varbas haminim, the four minim halalu, ein abam ela leratos alamayim. The reason why we shake lulav is to come l'ratzos, to daven, to ask your ritzoy from Hashem for water. Masha Ruach asks for water, and so to dalminim come to ask for water. So it's a ritzoy. So this supports the idea that lulav is balaratos, just like a carbon is balaratos, so too lulav is balaratos. Sometimes I go on tangents, guys. I hope you don't mind. So, in connecting to this whole idea of Masha Ruach Menegashim, so now we have to say that Masha Ruach, if lulav is laratos, is a ritzoy, Masha Ruach is also a ritzoy. Now, if I were to ask you, what's the difference between a shevach and a ritzoy? Shevach is a praise. Hashem, hakel, hagadol, hagibor, v'anora. It's praise. The first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei is birchas ha-shevach. A ritzoy is already starting to ask for something. It's not quite a she'ela. A she'ela is, v'sein tal matel l'vrach is a she'ela. I want. A ritzoy is somewhat what in between, where you're trying to lead into a question. It's a ritzoy, trying to get on his good side, your parents' good side, and ask the question. Shevach is you say, oh, you're so great. Ritzoy is starting to lean in that, you know, I need a little bit of water. And then she'ela is like, can I have water? So ritzoy is in between. If I were to ask you whether or not Masha Ruach is a shevach or a ritzoy, I would have thought it's a shevach. It's in the first three brachas. We can't ask for bakashas in the first three brachas. You know, the fact we say zachreinu during Aseres Mechuvah is a whole shaila in the Rishon, whether you should or you shouldn't. But say Masha Ruach, it's in the first three brachas, it must be a birchas shevach. And in fact, Rashi calls it a shevach in Gemara Brachas, I forget which daf, around like Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes or so. There's a Mishnah that talks about saying Masha Ruach Menegashim. It calls it a shevach, I believe, there. But here the Gemara seems to equate it as a ritzoy. It's a ritzoy, like a lulav is a ritzoy, so to Masha Ruach is a ritzoy. What's a nafkamina, whether it's a ritzoy or sheva? Who cares? So there are a few nafkaminas, actually. What happens if you forget to say Masha Ruach Menegashim when you're supposed to? Can you make it up during Shemir Tefillah? Anyone know anything on this? Excellent. Tosas in Maseches Tainis there. He says, he quotes a Yushalmi. I actually had two days about this. The Machlokes is shown based on this Yushalmi whether or not you can make up Masha Ruach during Shema Kolenu. What's that basis? What's the whole Machlokes? Because as Tosas says, you could only put a She'ela in Shema Tefillah. If I forgot the same Talamat El Racha, that I could certainly put in Shema Tefillah. That's a She'ela. It's a Bakasha. But Masha Ruach is only a Shevach. You keep it a shevach in bakashos, but if you assume Masha Ruach is actually a ritzoy, which is a little bit leaning more toward the bakasha, then it makes total sense that you can make it up during Shema Tefillah. So that's the machlokas in the Rishonim. Another nafkamina. If you, let's say, don't say Masha Ruach, but you say Morid Atal, does that suffice? Can Morid Atal substitute for Masha Ruach in Gashem or not? So Morid Atal is certainly not a ritzoy. Because there's no bakasha, it's only a shevach. So the Rishonim point out, it only makes sense to do this if you're going to say that Masha Ruach is a shevach, so Morid Atal is also a shevach, it could substitute for this. But if Masha Ruach is actually a ritzoy, Morid Atal wouldn't suffice. It wouldn't work as a substitute. I once saw, I learned the sugya. This is a very chaviv sugya to me. The Gemara's talk about certain things that are chaviv to certain people. There's actually, the Gemara says that sometimes they'll put a din derabanan before a din deraisa, because a din derabanan it's chaviv, because the chachamim, they worked hard on it. They mechadesh a din, so it's certain chavivas they have. So at the beginning of the Bab Basra, there's a Ramban there. The Gemara talks about mechitzas and hezekriya. Ramban says, explains why they chose a certain tosefta over a mishnah or something. Ramban says they chose this tosefta because it was very chaviv. Why was the tosefta chaviv? Because it spoke about dina degarmi, indirect damage. So I think in the back of the Gemara Babasa, this goes back 20 years ago when I was in Hakotel, I think there's a Rashash and there's Ramash. I think Ramosha Stern maybe. If you take a look there in Bezim Alpha, I think it's a Ramash. He says it was chaviv to the Ramban because he wrote a sefer in dina degarmi. He's a whole long kutchus on dina degarmi. So he was chaviv to him. So when a person puts their efforts into something, it becomes very chaviv. So this sugya happened to be very chaviv to me, because when I was around your age, I was trying to like prepare a sugya, and whatever reason I got into the sugya, and I came across in the B'nai Shurim based Medrash, there's a sefer called Mata Aaron. I don't know why I picked it out. It was Mamash Shkacha brought this, Mata Aaron. had to be written by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zetzal, and he opened up and he happened to have a shtickel in this piece. And the Mashiv Ruach Min HaGashim, whether it's a Shevach or Ritzoy. And he answered a question, which I shouldn't say always, wonder about. I have a friend of mine who's a Rebbe now, he once said, I always thought about this, and he said this to Rav Yeager once, I always thought this. He says, yeah, you always thought that? When you're in YCQ, you thought that? Yeah, always? It's always a statement of gaiva, so I'm sorry. So I didn't always think this. But I wondered for some time why you say Goshem versus Geshem, different nuschalos, different sitters. What's the difference? Masha ruach min ha-geshem, or da Goshem. So Rav Soloveitchik was mechadesh. The word is Geshem, you know. When you say Goshem, it's an asnachta. If you look inside a chumash, a pasuk, sometimes the vowels will change from a shorter to a stronger type of vowel. An E will turn and become an A. So he said, you would say Goshem to kind of show that this statement doesn't belong here. It's ending it. Masha ruach min ha-Goshem, ending the statement, it doesn't belong here. It's misplaced, obviously with intent. He felt if you say ha-Goshem, then you're being megala that you think it's actually a ritzoy. It doesn't fit in here with the Birchas HaShevach, but it's a ritzoy the Chacham said put here. If you say Masha ruach min ha-Geshem, you don't change your word, it's part of the flow, it's a Birchas HaShevach. So that's perhaps another nafka mina, whether you say Geshem or Goshem, whether it's a Shevach or a Ritzoy. One more, I think Rav Soloveitchik himself, Rav Yashaber, I think, said this shot, that the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is this very machlokas. Again, Rabbi Eliezer said we start saying Masher Ruach on day one. Rabbi Yeshua says you start saying it on the last day. So Rabbi Yeshua says, why would you say it on day one? You want it to rain on Sukkot? It's a simon kol for it to rain. So I'm not asking for it to rain. I'm just saying a Shevach of Hashem. So clearly, Rabbi Yeshua felt that it was actually more of a ritzoy. So you can't say it on Sukkot. It's a ritzoy. That's leading to a Shela, Bakasha. You don't want it to rain. But Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's a Shevach. It's just praising Hashem. It's not asking for rain. It's not going to cause rain to come during Sukkot. So we see this in of ritzoy and Shevach when it comes to Masher Ruach Amir Gashem. So Ritzoy applies to this statement of Masher Ruach. We see it from the Gemara, it applies to Lulav as well. Lulav is a certain Ritzoy. Let me build up a little bit more about Lulav. How else we see that Lulav is a type of Ritzoy, a type of Karba. You saw the Gemara, the Tosos in Sukkah, Daf Chav Tesmah, based on the famous Mishnah, Lulav Yavesh is Pasul. A dry Lulav is Pasul. And there are different reasons why. Tosa says, based on Hidr Mitzvah, based on Zekei Van Veyu. The Ravid, I think, in the back of the Gemara and Sukkah quotes a Yushalmi that says, La Mesim Haluka, that Mesim can bring praise there. It's dead, it's Yavesh means Kemes. But how dry does it have to be? How Yavesh does it have to be? So, unless you're sensitive to this, you probably, I also, only because I became sensitive that I realized what was going on here, Tosa says it has to be just as dry as the ear of a bechor. But a firstborn animal, kosher animal, behemoth tahora, is a carbon. To bring it, give it to the Kohen brings it as a carbon, he eats from it. So there are many different mumim that are discussed with respect to carbonos. Maseches Becharos is pretty much all about mumim. This missing an eye, can't see, missing a leg, something with the ear, the mouth, the nose, the teeth, everything possible. So Tosa says, well, we look to that sugya of how dry the ocean of a bechor, if the ear of a bechor is so dry that if you touch it, it begins to crumble by like scratching with your nail, it crumbles. That's how dry the ear becomes to make a bechor pasul, a mum. That's how dry the lulav has to be, that if you were to kind of scratch it with your nail, it's going to crumble into pieces. So why are we looking at a bechor as the model for the psul, yavesh, for lulav? They have nothing to do with each other. One's an animal, one's a plant. And so I think the answer is because if you view lulav as some type of carbon, some type of ritzoy, so then it makes sense to use carbonos as a model for the shear of yavashus for lulav. And one more raya before we move back to shofar, I think it's from the Rambam's language. If you have the Rambam in front of you, number 6 in the Mar Makomos. Rambam writes a very interesting term. He's kind of summing up all the different psulim of lulav. And he says in Hilcha Shofar, lulav, Shofar Sukkah Lulav Perkhes, Kol Elu She'amru She'em Psulim Mipnei Mumim Shebe'arnu. You don't find the word mum, to my understanding, it doesn't appear anywhere in Masechta Sukkah. I don't think anywhere legabe the psulm of Dalminum. Maybe the Yushalmi, but I don't know. I don't know if it comes with the Yushalmi. But he calls it a mum. A mum is a term that's used by Karbanos, not by Dalminum. So in the Esdaiti, I think the way he uses the word, the term mum, is trying to tell us that there's this connection, this equation between lulav, dalminum, and karbanos. Because lulav is an example of something that's balaratos, comes to bring a kapara. So only these types of mitzvahs are subject to the dinam of mitzvah babaver. Now let's bring this back to shofar. Shofar is a form of a tefillah. It's a form of a ritzvah. The Gemara in Chavavan and Beis tells us that the shape of the shofar is straight versus curved. If you look at the Rashi Tosas there, they talk about that the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah should be that's kfufim. Why kfufim? Because kamed de koyf inish dait de tfei male. The more a person bends his mind, he humbles his mind, the greater it's going to be. And Tosas, rather Rashi writes, since Rosh Hashanah is all about, if Rosh Hashanah according to one pshat is supposed to be straight and one pshat curved, a person bends his head down, the more it's bent, the better it is. So we're comparing the shape of a shofar to the shape of a human being, the way he davens, because shofar is also a form of davening. And even the pshat that says it should be straight, pshutim, Rashi also says, there's an inner of being straight, standing up straight with respect during tefillah as well. So we see the shape of the shofar also highlights that it's a type of tefillah, type of ritual. So now this being the case, we understand another ritva, l'shitaso, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavches, where Tosos, rather the ritva says clearly that he asks a question. The Gemara says that he asks a question, who cares whether or not you're using a shofar that was stolen, a shofar that was shlamim, a shofar that was a davar iser, davar me'ila. Who cares? Who cares what the chefs of the shofar is? And so the ritva says, because since it is an iser me'ila, if it's shlamim, since it's an iser of gzela, mishim mitzvah haba bavera. Because again, the ritva holds in the Masechta Sukkah that mitzvah haba bavera only applies to that which is balaratos. So he's able to apply it to a shofar as well, that mitzvah babaver applies to a shofar, because it's also balaratot, it's a form of a ritzoy, it's a type of tefillah. It's going l'kosh kadashim, it's going l'fnai l'fnim, it's a zikaron. So it's a type of ritzoy and therefore subject to a mitzvah babaver. And that's the ritva, if you connect all the dots, he's all the shitaso. But the Rambam, however, argues. The Rambam says that if you look in the Rambam number 8, Hilchos Shofar, Perek Aleph, he says, reading just the bold, Shofar HaGazel, Shetaka Bo Yata. If you steal a shofar and you blow from it, you're Yote. She'ein HaMitzvah Ela B'Shmias HaKol. The mitzvah is only to hear. Ava Pishol Nogaba, you don't have to touch it. Loik B, you don't have to lift it up. HaShemeya Ve'ein B'Kol Din Gezel. You can't steal sound. You can't steal coal. So even though the chefs of the mitzvah was puzzle, was stolen, it's still a good mitzvah. And the Ravid also says, even if you want to say there's a din gezel, he says, nonetheless, it says, yom trua, there has to be a trua. Mikomakum, however you create the trua, as long as you have a trua, a shofar, a sound, it's good. So while the Rambam argues and says a stolen shofar is good, the Ritva argues. Because this really gets to a very, very important chakir that we're going to touch upon as we learn through the Masechta together. I seem to recall, I'm not sure if it's as popular as when I was in Yeshiva 20 years ago, but a sefer, Hagyoni Halacha, Rav Mirsky, you guys still have that around? No? It's orange and white sefer, yeah. Yeah. So it's a great way to learn, get to lumdus, get a little bit of flavor how lumdus works, a very clear sefer. So I think he talks about the shtickle. The big lumdus of shofar is whether it's the mitzvah netkiah, the mitzvah in the shemir, is it about blowing? Is it about hearing? Which one is it? Is the bracha litkoa? Is it al shemir? So there's many, many nafkaminas to this. But part of this nafkamina of whether it's about blowing the shofar or about hearing the shofar touches upon the nature, the purpose of shofar. The Rambam holds that the mitzvah of shofar is to hear it. What does it mean to hear the shofar? The pasuk says, "Ur yishenim," to wake up those who are sleeping, those who are in their slumber. He quotes this in Hilchos Tainios, this pasuk, that the point of shofar is to wake people up. The Rambam didn't think that the shofar was balaratos. Lulav balaratos, but not shofar. Shofar is not a form of tefillah for the Rambam. The shofar is for me and you. For me and you to hear the shofar, to wake up. I think this could connect to another inyan about the listening of the shofar. There's a big kasha that the post can point out, that there's a makri. Right? Every Baal Tokeh, there's a makri. There's a makri in shul, and there's a Baal Tokeh, so the makri he leads, you know, reads tkiya, shvarim, truah, and so on. Now, the question the Mishnah Berurah points out, how come there isn't a considered a hefsek, the very first tkiya that the Baal Makri, the Makri calls out, should be a hefsek. The Baal Tokeh says the bracha, everyone's silent, and before he blows, the Makri says, tkiya, and then he blows the shofar. Why is that not a hefsek? So, you're going to tell me that the Baal Tokeh is going to forget, he doesn't know the first one? It's very nerve-wracking, whenever you're up there in front of the tzibur, whether you're speaking, whether you're davening, whether you're blowing shofar, it's very nerve-wracking. He's not going to forget the first one. Maybe the next one, but not the first one. And especially because it's going to be a hefsek, why have a hefsek? So Soloveitchik felt that that first tekiah he calls out is really a matir. I mean, who gives a Baal Tokeh the right to blow the shofar? Who are you? Who are you to blow the shofar? It's one of the most important things. You're leading the entire tzibur to get the tefillah up into Shemayim. So the makri is usually like a rav of some sort. He's the servant of the bezdin. He's a matir you, don't worry, it's okay. It's a matir. Without that, you don't have the right to blow the shofar. It's not a reminder. I think you could say something different, though. Everyone here, up until this point, assumed, who is the makri referring? Who is he calling to? Who is he reaching out to? The Baal Tokeh. And we're just waiting for him to blow the shofar. I think there's a room to say that he's actually calling out to everyone in the tzibur, that we should be paying attention, that tkiah is for us to listen to. It's not just like letting him do and just watching his show. Pay attention, that tkiah, that shvarim, that truah is for you. And there's much more to that, maybe we'll speak about it at a different time. But for the Rambam, the shofar is for us to hear, to us to wake up. So the fact that the shofar is stolen doesn't make a difference. Because it's not about blowing into the shofar, it's about that sound is being heard. It's the sound. That there's a shofar, you blow into the shofar, and then there's a shmia. There's two different parts. Shofar with the tkiah, and then there's a shmia. The shmia needs to be heard. However, the Ritva holds that the mitzvah is tkiah, blowing in. What's the tkiah? If you say it's about tkiah, it's about tefillah. I mean, the chakira is shofar to wake us up as an alarm, to us to listen to wake up, or is it our way to express a tefillah, the way of davening? You're blowing out. So normally we blow out words, right? We say, we're Baruch Atah Hashem. Sometimes we don't know what words to say. So we do a tekiah, we do a shvarim, and let Hashem interpret the words however best he can. Now, in music, in the world of the deep levels of music, not, you know, music is very deep, a deep world. In fact, it's brought down by the Gra. The Pas Shulchan is the Talmud of the Gra. Pas Shulchan writes in the Akdama that from the Gra learned all subjects except for medicine. His father had him learn all these different topics, but not medicine, because he was scared if the Gra would learn medicine, he'd be the best doctor and would take him away from learning. But he learned every other subject other than medicine. And he says there in the Hakdama from the Gra that the deepest areas of outside of Torah, and of course Torah intertwines with them, is music and math. Those are the two deepest subjects in the world outside of Torah. So music is a very deep world. Why was I saying this? Sound. Oh, no words. Very good. No words. Excellent. Thank you. So the idea is that sometimes the most powerful, the deepest songs are nigunim, where there are no words to it. When you put a word to something, you've limited it. You've not defined it. My son composes songs. I'll share with you. He has a couple new ones, actually. It's coming out actually after Tisha B'Av with Ari Goldberg. He's singing on one of his songs. But we'll share that over the next few weeks. So, you know, he first writes a song, and then he puts words to the song. Once you p- put words to the song. Now you've limited the direction of it. How, what you're going to think about it. Whatever the words are, that's going to... Now, if I heard the song, I could think one thing, you could think something else, and it's open to interpretation. But the moment you start defining it, it limits the ability. So somehow, wordless songs, nigunim, have the deepest ability to understand things because it's open to interpretation. You're not defining yourself. You're not limiting yourself. So shofar might be the greatest expression of tefillah without having to limit yourself. And it's a B'nai Yisachar that talks about these inyanim as well, about how the tekiah is a form of tefillah without words, which is even a higher level. So again, for the Ritva, where tekiah blowing into the shofar is a form of tefillah, it's a ritzoy, it makes sense why then, since it's a ritzoy, it's a mitzvah, haba, baver, because that's the definition that the Ritva works with. Anything that's a ritzoy is subject to mitzvah, baver. Everyone's good with me? Yeah? Any questions? More about music? I'll tell you a nice piece about music. Fine. Then we'll go to this last piece. Now, in terms of music, just because it was on my mind now, there's a beautiful... in Shai Kedusha, Rav Chaim Yevolashin talks about that, you know why music is so powerful and so inspiring? It's because when the neshama hears music, so then it reminds them of what the Malachim would sing, like up to Shemayim. The neshama comes from the Kisa HaKavod, below the Kisa HaKavod. So now it's in a guf, it's in a body now, it's in a physical world. But when it starts hearing the music, the singing, it's reminded of the Malachim and it gets inspired. And that the question is, what does one do with inspiration? That's the next step, but that's where the inspiration comes from, because of the singing of the Malachim. So so we know learning is also a type of song, it's also a rina, it's a shira. So that's also, when we learn Gemara, it's also being surrounded by Malachim. It's a different type of song, but it's the deepest song. That's why the Sfarim point out that the Gemara, the word Gemara, stands for Gavriel, Michal, Rafael, and Uriah, because we're being surrounded by Malachim here. They're busy learning with us and singing with us. That's the deep idea of music. So let's just finish off this Indian of, since, you know, shofar is a type of tefillah, it's a type of ritzoy, let's finish off with the one last nafkamina to this point. So there's a din brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's based on the Gemara. If a person hears 9 different tekiyos scattered throughout the day from 9 different people, the Gemara says, Shama Teisha tekiyos, it's Taf Kuf Peches Sibbeis. The person hears 9 tekiyos, Beteisha Shals, 1 every hour of the day, very dispersed. He's Yotzei the Mitzvah. Afilu Mitisha Ben Yadam, 9 people blow the shofar. 1 at 9 o'clock, 1 at 10 o'clock, 1 at 11 o'clock, 9, you get your 9, you're Yotzei. And the Mishnah Berurah says, it's also as long as a person, even a person had a Hesech Hadas and he spoke in between them. But the Magen Ram says, if however, it was an onus, he was onus and he couldn't hear it for some onus, then he doesn't get the mitzvah. If he chose not to, fine. But if something forced him against the will where he couldn't hear tekiah, so then he would not get the mitzvah. It would be too much of a hefsek when he was forced, he was onus, he couldn't even hear the tekiah if he wanted to. And the Magen Avraham says further, and you'll see this inside in the Mar Makomos number 10, the Be'er Halacha explains to the Magen Avraham, it's only an onus that he couldn't hear because he didn't have a guf naki, his body wasn't clean, or he was in a place that wasn't clean. So if a guy was, let's say, in a bathroom, in between the tekiyos, a dirty bathroom, he wouldn't be able to be owed to the mitzvah, because that was too much of a hefsek in between each tekiyah. So Be'er Halacha says, I don't understand this connection of the guf naki to the shofar. He says, this Magen Avraham is learning the halachas, that which applies to tefillah. He says, lo shayach zerak b'tefillah o b'birchas hamazon u b'halel megillah. If a guy is in the middle of megillah, in the middle of halel, in the middle of tefillah, and something onus happens to him where he doesn't have a guf naki, or he's in a maki, is in makom that's not naki, so that's a hefsek, because you can't daven in a place that's dirty. You can't hear Megillah or Hallel in a place that's dirty. So that makes sense. Mashenkin b'tekiyos. B'tekiyos ain't a rak ma'isa mitzvah. He says, Heicha matzina, where do we find you can't do asher lakai mitzvah b'shagufo ain't no naki? I can't do a mitzvah if my body isn't clean? Oh, b'melkom shei naki? Is it asher lilbosh talos shel dal kanfos b'shagufo or melkom ain't naki? I mean, if I walk through a dirty alleyway, I need to take off my tzitzis? If I go into the bathroom, I need to take my tzitzis off? Is it then by a talis that's miyuchal l'tefila? Or a kittel that's miyuchal l'tefila? That we don't bring into the bathroom. But stam tzitzis, we don't take them off if the person isn't naki. So, Why would he extend this to shofar? He leaves off as a tzarachian. It's a shofar. A shofar is like a tzitzit. It's just a mitzvah. There's no kedusha to it. There's no tefillah to it. And the answer, of course, is Rav Soloveitchik answers, if you look, take a look at Hari Kedem, he says, no, it's pasha. The answer is very simple. Once you understand that shofar is not simply just a mitzvah, it's not simply just a wake-up call, it's actually a form of ritzoy, a form of tefillah, then the halach is exactly the same. Just like if there's a hefsek in between tefillah and between halal and megillah, if a person's naki, eino naki, or v'makum eino naki, it would be a hefsek, so too it would apply to shofar as well. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Mirat Hashem will continue tomorrow on Ein K'tegar Na'aseh Sneger. We'll go more of a survey throughout Shas. Most of the shiurim will be hopefully focused on the particular sugyas, but this is just a nice, I think, survey of different applications of Ein K'tegar Na'aseh Sneger. Oh, yeah.